Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered about 5,000 men. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Heavenly Father, by your word, may we understand the richness of your grace towards us and to respond with open and grateful hearts. Amen. Giving in Grace is a stewardship program and a teaching program, if you like, set up by the Diocese of Liverpool. But it's much more widely used than that, and indeed we've used it at our previous church in Colchester. And stewardship comes from a family of biblical words, and it usually means to have charge or oversight over something. But it's also described as a theologian as owning nothing but enjoying all. At the heart of giving in grace is the recognition that God has given us everything and that we cannot earn by merit or deed what we have. We can only gratefully receive it through the grace of God. And indeed, in that early first book of Genesis and the story of creation, after everything had been made, God said, it was good, yes, but he said, "I have given all plants and creatures to you to have dominion over." And there's that hint of stewardship that we have. And we mustn't forget, God has given us, not the least, Jesus, his Son, our Saviour. As Hebrews says, the book of Hebrews says, that perfect sacrifice made once and for all. And you may have recognised some familiar words in that first reading we had. And it's used in many Anglican churches. And it says this, "All things come from you, and of your own do we give you." The prayer that's used when the offering is received. I don't use that prayer. My prayers vary quite a bit. But I do try and say the same things, that we respond out of God giving us good things and recognising that we give in more ways than that's just represented on that collection plate. And you may have noticed, since I've been here, I try to receive the offering at quite a visible point in the service. We wait until after the offertory hymn is finished, and then the collection is brought up. Because I believe and understand it to be part of our worship and discipleship together, and therefore should be very visible and corporate when we offer it to God. But giving is personal, and it's part of our discipleship journey together. And it's also very confessional, in that it reflects what we understand has been given to us through the grace and generosity of God. It's reminded of an expression, put your money where your mouth is. And in our pilgrim course the other week, we were talking about what we idolise, what we worship in our lives. And they suggested we look at our bank accounts to see how that reflects what we feel is of true worth. But in talking about giving, I don't want to make this appeal to say that you've got to increase what you give. But I do think it's an opportunity to reflect on where giving is seen to be in our life and on our discipleship journey. Because it's good and healthy to review from time to time what we do and as our circumstances change. We've just had our car insurance renewal set through, and I think it's become an almost habit that we have to check it year on year to make sure we're saving the money and not being ripped off. But the same could be said in reverse. If we don't consider frequently what we offer to God in our time, talents and money, it might be that we're underrepresenting his worth and grace to us. So in considering giving in grace, I give you permission to increase or decrease what you feel you are giving in the light of your own reflection. But I hope you will see it to be an integral part of our worship and a response to all that God has given us. Feeding of the 5,000, which is our gospel reading, is the only miracle that is actually represented in all four gospels. And at its heart, it's a rich picture of what it means to be a steward. The bread the disciples share with the crowd is first received from Jesus as both being blessed and broken. And the story is actually a picture of God's abundance provision for us, for our physical and our spiritual needs. Because spiritually, the passage is in the context in Mark's gospel of the 12 having been sent out on to preach and to teach and to heal. And it's on their return that Jesus says to them, let's go to a quiet, a deserted place. And I think it's something we should all do from time to time. Like I said, it's healthy to review things. And we need to take time out from our busyness to recenter ourselves before our Heavenly Father and understand where he is moving and working in our lives. You see, stewardship of our money is not mechanical or legalistic, but it's always in the context of discernment and a response to what God is doing in our lives. So it's good to review giving, and giving in grace, I hope, would encourage you to review that at this point. Understanding and knowing where God is active in our lives is important, because it's all too easy to become focused on the pressing needs around us and not on God. And in our miracle story, the disciples, perhaps understanding the pressing need of food for the crowd around them, are actually eager to send them away to go and get that food. It's compassionate, yes, but it's not what God is doing at that time. And Jesus, perhaps quite brutally, says to them, you give them something to eat. It's actually quite a story of contrast. On the one hand, there's the needs of the crowds, the scarcity of resources, and the disciples wanting to send them away. And on the other hand, Jesus is there, with the abundance of food in 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he commands the disciples themselves to meet the needs of the crowd. I think we would probably match how the disciples reacted. You want us to go and find 200 denarii, 6 months' wages, so that we can feed these people. And I think quite often when we come up with financial needs confronting us, we often turn to think, what have I got to do? Is it down to us? How can we possibly do this? And as a church, that's particularly acute for us at the moment, with the upkeep of the building, our family purse to pay to the diocese, and ongoing ministry and service costs. I'm sure we despair in a similar way to the disciples. But we recalculate everything in terms of financial cost and monetary transactions. And it's to our detriment and to the detriment of the life of the church that we overlook our spiritual assets in times of financial need. The miracle of the feeding of 5,000 is that it invites us to see things differently from a pragmatic, measured and transactional response, to a spiritual one looking for the abundant and generous provision of God and a trust in his answer. It's not an invitation to fiscal irresponsibility. Churches must balance their budgets. But the miracle story challenges us to change our stewardship story from one of scarcity to one of abundance, from one of crisis to one of confidence, trust. How we talk about money in church must change from the language of financial transaction necessary for survival and problem solving to the language of expectation and transformative generosity which releases God's abundant provision. I'm often reminded of quite a famous quote, I believe, by a chap called Hudson Taylor. And he started off the Chinland Inland Mission, which is now OMF, Overseas Missionary Foundation. And he says this: God's work, done in God's way, never lacks God's supply. In coming to Jesus with the problem in this miracle, the disciples are asked two things: to bring what food they do have, and secondly, to organise the people ready to receive. And Jesus takes what's offered, 5 loaves and 2 fish. He blesses and breaks it, and then he gives it to the disciples for them to distribute. For it is from the hands of the disciples themselves that the multiplied food is given to the people, and thence an abundance of leftovers are collected. As a picture of stewardship, it shows us that all that we have, the wealth and possessions that God entrusts to us as stewards, comes into our hands both blessed and broken. God the Creator is the owner and giver of all things, and in his grace, he entrusts it to us for our enjoyment, our contentment, our gratitude, and for our giving. So what is the story of our church or of our giving? Is it one of scarcity or restrained vision of what is possible with God, and budgets and accounts are focused on managing that scarcity? Or is it a story of abundance, of God's gifts to us, blessed and broken into our hands, for us to share in generous hospitality, to meet the needs of the lonely, the outcast, the sick, or the lost, and to show God's love to those who do not yet know him? Please, do not get me wrong. I'm not suggesting we can be frivolous and neglectful of our finances, personal or church finances. We have been given our intelligence and skills and talents to use our money wisely, and so we should. And as a church, that does not preclude fundraising activities, but which may well be part of our financial management. But we must ensure how we think about money doesn't just focus on the disciplines of monetary transactions and prudence, but as integral to this, a transforming vision of God's generosity towards us and to his people. As a church, we have financial needs, family purse and payments, and our budgets are tight. And we also have aspiring work to do in terms of reordering the back of this church and perhaps redecorating it. For Wimbish too, they're looking to build a kitchenette. But we do need to discern what God has given to us, blessed and broken, to use for his purposes. We're not to go in front of it, nor lag behind. And we shouldn't sacrifice our ongoing financial needs for the sake of a project. Next week, perhaps we'll look a bit more on how we personally respond to God's call to be good stewards and to have the mindset of a generous God. But just one thought as we leave this week. One theologian puts it like this: we must abandon the myth of scarcity and instead celebrate a liturgy of abundance. In God's grace to us, I suggest we have that abundance that should be celebrated. Amen. Shall we stand to declare our faith in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? We say together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Do please sit on me as we come to our intercessions.